Senator from Davies, do you yield to inquiry from Senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
We're talking about Senate Bill 666.
666, how fitting.
It is. Basically what it does is its intention is good, to give the $400 surplus back to some taxpayers, but the only thing is that it gives it to just only residential property owners as a tax credit toward their property tax, their state property tax, I guess. And, you know, I just don't know if this is a good idea. How do you feel about it?
I'm going to look at the title here real quick. But my guess is that
relating to a tax credit for residential real property owners.
Okay, so we're creating a tax credit, gives money back to property owners. And do we have a fiscal note with it?
Well, it was represented that it would return it's $384 million surplus is the idea. But see, my feelings about this are that the people who paid this excess tax are more than just these property tax owners. And in fact, there's a lot of poor people out there that could benefit, renters, you know, apartment dwellers, people who earned money. Some of these people didn't even pay income tax. And not only that, but
this is the $300 and some million, the surplus that we have right now.
Right. And so, I mean, like,
those were taxpayers, not prop. Those were income taxpayers, not property taxpayers.
Well, they were. I guess the state actually receives state property tax, don't they? Do they?
I don't think so. I thought the property tax was primarily local.
Well, the other thing is
income
that
income tax and sales tax make up like 80 or 90% of the total revenue.
So, if you're a county that has like super high valuations,
yep,
then the total amount of tax going to the citizens of that county is going to be way much more than the property tax going back to the citizens of a relatively poor county like Grundy.
Right. Or Worth.
Or Worth. Or Mercer.
Davies.
Nottoway.
Nottoway.
Holt.
Go down the list.
Atchison.
Nottoway, probably not so much Nottoway, but all the rest of them.
Atchison.
So the question becomes, I'm fairly reluctant to, you know, I think what we underscore here again, and I think the senator from the 15th who has filed this, I think that he and the senator from Lewis probably have similar thought processes, which are the property tax system in this state is a mess, and it clearly needs fixed. It needs resolution of some kind. I'm not sure this is the solution, though.
Well, I'm not either. I'm very concerned about it. I feel that if I want to give $400 million of state money, basically, back to property owners,
mm-hmm,
I guess it's going to go on the taxpayers' income tax return. Yeah, so in other words, if you pay property tax, then you'll take 0.75% of your assessed valuation, and then you get that as an income tax credit.
Okay.
So if you pay income tax and you don't pay property tax, you don't get anything. But if you pay income tax and you pay property tax, then you get an income tax deduction. Or a credit.
What if you pay no income tax, but you do pay property tax?
Well,
then you get a credit.
No, then you don't get anything. If it says the taxpayer must own the residential real property,
okay,
on the first of this year to be eligible for the tax credit, to the extent the tax credit allowed under this section exceeds a taxpayer's income tax liability, such excess shall be considered an overpayment of tax and shall be refunded. So it's refundable.
Oh, it's a refundable credit. Okay. So we're going to cut check. We're going to issue checks.
It says under Chapter 143, and I suppose that means income tax. So I guess that if you had the tax credit and it's refundable, and you didn't have any earned income, you'd still get the money back.
Right. That's exactly right. You don't have to pay income tax to get the money back.
But if you have income but no property, you're out of luck. You're not going to get anything. You have to have property.
Right.
And if you have a $5 million house, you're going to get, you know, what, 100 times as much as if you have $50,000.
Well, have you inquired of the senator from the 15th?
I did.
For him, and what was his...
He's very enthusiastic about Senate Bill 666.
I think it's fitting that a tax credit bill is 666, but maybe I should inquire the senator for the 15th, and he can explain to me what we're doing here.
That would be fine with
me. He typically
me.
Has a well-thought-out reason for doing what he does.
Why don't you go for it?
As mischievous as it could be, it's normally thought out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Worth, what region do you
write? Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield to the senator from Worth? Proceed.
Yes.
666.
I got my holy water, Senator. Do you?
I understand. All right, so give me the lay of the land here. What's the driver? What's the thought process?
Well, the idea was, we've got a $400 million surplus approximately. What is the best way to maximize the bang for the buck as far as returning that money back to Missourians? So I've got a bill, and I know you've been supportive of lowering the personal income tax rate. We've got that hopefully in the hopper. We've got cutting taxes for every business in the state. That's in the hopper. So what would be combining getting that money to as many people but having it impactful, and you weren't in here, but for somebody who has in St. Charles County, for example, a home appraised at 157 would get a credit of the bill of $224.24.
Okay.
So that's that's not chump change. That can go a long way in adding purchasing power to that person. So it's a combination of practically what can provide the most bang for the buck and then returning that money, the $400 million. One time only, this expires after this year. It's just a one-time event. And I think, residential real estate property tax payers have not gotten a lot of relief around here in a really, really long time. So
what was the thought process if the money came in from income tax? Why not just return it from a pro rata versus...
We could do that. We tossed it around as we were looking at the numbers. That amount is... I don't remember what the amount was, but if you spread, $384 million among X number of individual taxpayers, it's just a much smaller number.
Yeah.
I would rather do that than do nothing. But
curious, no, the first thing in my mind was, if we give it back to residential, what we're essentially doing is, regardless of whether the income tax was, business, regardless of who paid the income tax, we're essentially giving it back to homeowners.
Right. I think the issue then is, we're essentially allowing, we're maximizing the amount that we can have that can be impactful for those people to then go out and stimulate the economy in the
right
way that I think you and I would agree that we ought to stimulate the economy through private individuals buying things or
spending their own money.
Yeah, and so this is it's not a perfect situation, but I will say that, this isn't the perfect way to do it, but I think it's a way to do it that can provide, like I said, the most bang for the buck.
Okay, and for the $400 million, what's that being spent on now? Like, what are they?
I don't know. We're trying to figure out ways to spend it on something.
There's no doubt they'll spend it.
Yeah, I'd rather just not spend it and give it back to people.
Okay. All right. Well, you answered my question. I'm not sure that.
I know it's a new idea.
Yeah.
But I think that now what's a positive to me is that we're starting to think a little bit more outside the box about how we want to cut taxes any way, shape, or form, and so this is an idea that I proposed.
And why, I guess, refundable tax credit? Because short of cutting a check, that's about
right. It's the only way we can really do it. And as I told the senator from Buchanan, I know that for some people the two words tax credit are four letter word, but sometimes that's the only way you can really effectuate what you're trying to do.
So the question is. let's assume for a moment this was to pass and it got over to the House. They load up all their stuff on it and send it back with a whole bunch of bad stuff. So then we're in a quandary. What happens in that situation?
I don't have any interest in this being a tax credit bill in the broader sense.
That's my only, I mean, yeah. I'm not sure I agree with the policy here, but my only real concern.
Yeah, and I don't think
I don't want to have a fight.
The floor leader does, and I don't. I mean, you have my commitment that that's not what this bill is.
That's all I care about.
Yep.
Thanks, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 666? Seeing none, Senator from the 15th is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 15th renews his adoption of Senate Committee substitute. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We've adopted the Senate Committee substitute. Senator from the 15th.
Mr. President, I now renew my motion that we perfect and order printed Senate Bill 666.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 15th is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 15th renews his motion to declare perfected and order printed Senate Bill 666. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill will be declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that calendar, Senate Joint Resolution 45, Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45 be brought before the body.
From Clay, as many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Clay.
President, I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45 be ordered perfected and printed. This joint resolution deals with the gubernatorial power to withhold. Basically, what it does is it would place in the Constitution a protection on funds appropriated to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, as well as funds appropriated for the payment and principal of interest on the public debt. So essentially, we've had this issue for a few years now about how withholds have been handled in this state. And there have been a couple of things batted around. And, of course, the House has generated a proposal that I think that they have passed, which I think is a little more complicated than this one. What I've chosen to do is just go straight to the issue. Education, elementary and secondary education, is about 40% of our state budget. We already have in the Constitution, under the line item veto section, which is section 26 of Article 4, the governor shall not reduce any appropriation for free public schools or for the payment of principal and interest on public debt. So the Constitution and the people of the state have already taken away the governor's authority of line item veto in this section. What this joint resolution does is it simply extends that principle from line item veto into the area of withholds. By doing this, it still leaves 60% of the general revenue of the state available for withholds should we incur a mid-year shortfall, which I'd like to remind everybody, when you have to withhold money, it's because that what we have appropriated is and what is coming in may not match, but that's only for that current fiscal year. The next year, we come back and we as appropriators decide how much money to spend in a given area. And so it is incumbent upon us to decide how much money the state is going to have and how we should spend it. So this would only affect withholds for the current fiscal year and then allow us to address the situation for the next fiscal year. Mr. President, with that, it would obviously go to a vote of the people, and the people would ultimately decide if we should extend that principle from line item vetoes into the area of withholds. I'd be happy to answer any questions and renew my motion.
Senator from Clay has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45. Does any senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion? Senator from Buchanan, what reason do you rise?
Senator from the Clay.
Wish to inquire the Senator from Clay. Senator from Clay, do you yield to inquiry?
I do.
Proceed.
So I just want to ask just one question.
Sure.
Tell me what happens if we appropriate a given amount of money, and during that fiscal year, there is a severe economic downturn, and our revenue gets cut by, say, a quarter.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think for your revenue to go down a quarter is probably a highly unlikely scenario, but you would have 60% of general revenue left to absorb that shortfall.
Right, and so basically you would just, like, protect all of the schools, and all of the teachers and the principals and everybody's salaries would be kept there, but the rest of government would suffer.
Well, the rest of government would be required to absorb the shortfall, yes.
Okay, and see, to me, that's... that. I mean, while I agree with you that it isn't that likely of a scenario, it's getting more and more likely every day as the world unfolds before us. I see central banks printing money hand over fist. I see our national debt climbing to $17.2 trillion. The public debt way over $100 trillion. And public and personal debt way even more than that. I just see us heading toward a financial collapse, and this becomes a real possibility, and that worries me. And so here we are locking this in, and it might be the wrong thing to do. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. President.
Senator from First, what reason do you rise?
Fire the Senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Well, certainly we don't want to see a situation where we have a default in the public debt payment of principal and interest pursuant to a gubernatorial withhold. I mean, that's the concern, right? We would be taking away from the governor the power to default us by virtue of a withhold, right?
Sure. On public debt, yes.
And we certainly don't want a default. And I think we can both agree that kindergarten through 12th grade education is our highest and first priority for funding under the state constitution and as a matter of good public policy.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly the constitution says you cannot line item veto public debt, you cannot line item veto public schools, and it places public debt and public schools as our number one and number two priority. All this does is simply extend that principle into the area of withholds during a given fiscal year.
And I certainly understand the policy rationale for doing that. Let me ask you this, and I don't want to put others in the chamber who have a heavy concentration of higher education in their districts on the spot with this, but to the Senator from Buchanan's point, in a scenario where you might have a substantial downturn and a drop in revenue, you know, why wouldn't we want to include higher education here, other than the fact that at a certain point you run out of things to protect from withholds?
Sure, I think it's, the answer is twofold. I mean, one is certainly workability. When you add higher education into the mix, you get up to a 50% of general revenue.
Right.
So you would be required to absorb the entire hit with the remaining 50% of general revenue. But secondly is the area of consistency. As I've said, the state constitution already puts these as our number one and number two priorities and already prohibits the governor from line item vetoing in these two areas. So by adding higher education, you would be creating an entirely new precedent that's not currently existent in the Constitution.
Well, and you're effectively taking away half of the current flexibility, although I think we agree we don't necessarily want flexibility in withholding from K-12 or from public debt. You take away half as opposed to 40%. And I understand at a certain point you narrow the flexibility to the point that the governor, is challenged in his or her ability to keep the budget in balance. You also have the possibility of a special session, correct?
Correct. You have a special session, plus you have supplemental appropriations the following year. And, you know, let's remember the doomsday scenario that was just laid out by the senator from Buchanan of a 25% cut in general revenue in a given year would mean a mid-year adjustment of in the neighborhood of $2 billion. And I'm not sure that anyone thinks that's realistic.
Well, I've got to tell you, you never know. We've seen things in the last 15 years in this state that I don't think anybody the 15 years before would have foreseen. And we haven't seen that kind of correction probably in more than a century. But that said, frankly, in the event we find ourselves in that situation, I would think that we would have other ways of addressing it, including specifically a special session. And I think we could agree that, thankfully, even though current conditions may be favorable or unfavorable, that kind of a radical downturn in revenue is not something we expect to see in any given year. It's sort of like the flood of the Mississippi in 1993. Terrible when it happens. You don't want to have a situation where you can't respond to that. But it only happens every, you know, so many centuries.
Sure, but in that situation, you also have access to the rainy day fund, which is the reason it was set up for actual emergencies, you know. But I think it's important to remember that we're talking about mid-year adjustments and whether or not we believe that the governor should have the ability to unilaterally decide to cut public schools after we've appropriated to them and whether we think that's appropriate or not. I happen to think it's not. I happen to think that if you're going to tell everyone that education is your number one priority, as the Constitution has laid out debt and public education as the number one and two priorities, that we should protect them as such. And if we have to make those adjustments mid-year, that we make them in other areas of state government. If we have a natural disaster, we tap the rainy day fund. You know, those are all options that are on the table.
I'll say it this way. I share the Senator from Buchanan's concern about what this means for the other 60% of our budget that is also very important, most especially higher education, which in my view is already under more pressure than most of everything else that general revenue. But that said, I understand what you're trying to do here. I don't want to see a withhold cause a default on the state's debt. I don't think that would happen, but there's no reason for that to be a possibility, and I don't want to see a withhold from K-12. So I appreciate your bringing this SGR forward. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Does that any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate Committee substitute for the Senate Joint Resolution 45? Seeing none, you recognize to close on the adoption motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this is an important protection that extends what is already a principle in our Constitution out to its logical conclusion. And, of course, it still has to be approved by the voters, assuming that we get it out of both chambers. So with that, I close and I renew my motion.
Senator from Clay renews his motion on adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45. As many opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We've adopted the committee substitute. Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45 be perfected and ordered printed.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from Clay moves that Senate Joint Resolution 45 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many in opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill will be declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Yes, Mr. President. The Senate will go to order of business for announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 30th District, Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Judiciary will meet upon adjournment in the Senate lounge.
Announcements. Any other senator announcements? Seeing none, Senator.
No further business come to the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Tuesday, February 25th, 2014.
I believe that there's a couple things that Senator from 23rd needs to get in the journal before
okay.
We adjourn.
Would you call for the Senator from
Sergeant in Arms, could you summons the Senator from the 23rd?
Mr. President, while the Senator 23rd gets here, I might explain to the body why we're coming in tomorrow at 4 p.m. I talked to the minority leader and the president of the Senate, and tomorrow's first day of filing. We're going to let the members do that. Senator that's in charge of the education committee had a wreck on his tricycle, and we're going to wait on him to get here. So with that.
All right. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. There, I believe, is an addendum at the dais from the governor's office. Would you please have that referred to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
It so shall be referred.
Would you please refer Senate concurrent resolution to the Committee on Rules?
It will be referred.
And would you please refer perfected version of Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 664 to the Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee?
It will be referred.
Thank you.
All right, Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, no further business come with the body. Move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Tuesday, February 25th, 2014.
You've heard the motion from Senator Newton. Any of the opinion that motion shall carry, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We stand adjourned.